The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Greg is showing off his great mic filter skills. This is like he wants to perfect the shadow laugh from the 1940s and 1950s radio show. I did
very
that terribly.
Tech. It's just my hands kind of doing this, you know, once you get the echo, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's got very weird hands.
Oh, dear. Like Donald Trump?
We didn't want to talk about small hands and about the significance of those small hands.
Oh, dear.
We don't want to discuss the size of the brain.
That's true.
And whether that makes any difference. But we do want to discuss a long question that Greg was going to ask from one of our listeners. Greg?
Okay, yeah. This is from Eric the Red, who's I recognize from the forums. The evidence base for alien abductions is plagued by methodological problems, including true believer therapists leading clients into false beliefs, experiencer support groups that reinforce and reward conformity to established narratives, the questionable use of hypnosis. Is it arguable that these and other mistakes undermine, perhaps fatally, the work done by virtually all abduction researchers, from Leo Sprinkle to David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins and others? Even worse, alien abduction has become nothing less than a kind of religious cult of therapists and alleged experiencers. In light of this reality, what do you propose to do to improve the scientific validity of this research?
I think that that is a wonderful question. I think it brings up lots of issues. And to me, these are issues that not only plague the abduction research community, but our whole community in general, everything. And that's why I feel it is imperative that we work together, that we begin to create very strict standardized protocols, not only for abduction research, but for UFO investigations. That will be by doing that and having people that are really the elite people in the field working together to establish those protocols and to educate people that are investigating. I think that's going to be vital to success. I do think that it is always easy when somebody has something like this that happens to them that is terrorizing. I mean, of course, they need people to support them. And so I think that support groups are very beneficial for some of these people who feel isolated. I'm not saying all of them are, but I definitely think there are many support groups out there that are doing the best they can, and they're needed because these people need help. They need to know that they're okay, and they need a place to talk about what's happened to them.
For specifics, what do you think can change? What do you think methodology should be, and what kind of questions should be asked, and what kind of questions should not be asked anymore?
Oh, boy. I think that what Kathleen Martin is doing with MUFON and the experiencer research team, I think that the questions that they have for the experiencer questionnaire that you take when you go to MUFON, I believe that those are very good kind of cut and dried questions. Right. And I believe that the answers to those questions then allow people, Kathleen, the group, to make a determination as to whether there is validity with what's taking place. So I think that they do a good job with that. I think Kathleen's worked really hard at that. I think that we always can improve things, and I think that that's what they're trying to do, what we're trying to do.
Unless it's you're not allowed to, what kind of questions are on there, and how are they different than what's been asked in the past?
It's a longer questionnaire. I mean, it's just, have you had different types of sightings? Have you experienced things in your home? I mean, it's, oh my gosh, it's quite a lengthy questionnaire. And so, and anybody can go to that if they go to MUFON Experiencer Survey, and you can see the questions. So I would definitely say do that. They've worked really hard.
Yeah, because I've had this idea for a while that people should ask, and this goes back to, you know, the witness questionnaire, people should ask, what was going on in your life before? What was going on right before? Things like that. And then, and with regards to abductees or whatever you want to call them, and I don't know if this is addressed in the questionnaire, but, you know, kind of what, history of mental illness in your family, not to cast an aspersion on somebody. Weird things, blood type, where have you lived before? Have other people in your family had this kind of things go on in their lives, you know, or other things going on that you can't explain in your life? Are these all kind of things that are included on this questionnaire?
Yes, they are.
Oh, excellent. Well, yeah. I'll go take a look at it. Well, thank you.
Looking at where we've been in UFO research and where we are today, is it possible at all to see an end game that we get some answers? I mean, we're not getting any younger. I'm speaking of myself.
Well, it's a good thing you clarified that, mister.
Well, no, you're very young. Greg, I'm not sure about. I've met Greg, but it's very strange over there. Seriously, are we going to find an end game? Are we getting to anything?
Oh, Lord. You know, sometimes I go to bed at night and I think, oh, my Lord, what have we accomplished? You know, I really, it can be frustrating, and I can't imagine how people feel that have been doing this for 50 years. Because it does seem like no real progress or no great breakthroughs have been made. But I think we are beginning to understand that what we're looking for, what we need to look for, what we need to research is not necessarily isolated cases that are nuts and bolts craft, that whatever is taking place is much different than we had anticipated to begin with. I believe that we have overcome a lot of public sentiment that people are crazy that look into this, where it's becoming more accessible for people, and that will hopefully allow us to obtain more information. I hope that that breaks down barriers as well with the mainstream media, the scientific community, so we can maybe, I dare to dream, but begin to work together on this, because we know it's happening. And like I said at the beginning of the show, this isn't a matter of a belief anymore. And I believe we really need to stop phrasing this, especially as researchers, as I believe or I don't believe. We have more factual evidence. Let's get on with it. Let's contribute. Let's try to figure out what in the heck is going on.
We can certainly look for some more conclusions, and maybe that's part of it right here, that we have to spend more time not just accumulating the data, but assuming that maybe we have it already there. But maybe we need to look at it in a better form. But let me ask you, because we kind of touched briefly on sightings in other parts of the country. Do you find there is a cultural relationship between a certain country and the kinds of UFOs that are reported?
No, I don't. I think that you see all over the world the same types of objects being reported. The most common type of object being reported is my favorite, the orange sphere. Orange, red, amber sphere, fireball, whatever we're calling it. And that's, gosh, at least 60% of the cases worldwide are of these objects. And then you have black triangles. That's the second most reported type of craft. And so it's a worldwide thing, the same type of objects.
Now, you have a Project Orange that we ought to get more into. Not Agent Orange, folks. Project Orange. What is that about? Let's start here, and then we'll break for the next segment.
So I formed Project Orange with Terry Ray, another MUFON field investigator who's written a brilliant book, The Worldwide Invasion of Mysterious Orange Orbs, and then Bob Spearing, who is back east. And we believed, because of personal experiences and then also looking through the MUFON database, that there were way too many reports of these objects, and for some reason we needed to better educate other investigators and the public on what was happening. And then our goal was to get in there and analyze, figure out where the sightings clusters were taking place, figure out, you know, what all, you know, how do they behave? Do they blink out and reappear? Are there sounds associated with them? Are they interacting with human beings? Do they, you know, there's so many questions with this. And so we just started plotting all of these things out. Robert Spearing has done an amazing job.
more about Project Orange and the ongoing work. With Jean and Erica and Greg, you're in
The Paracast.
If you're fascinated by UFOs, ancient aliens, archaeological mysteries, ghost hunting, Atlantis, and any other paranormal topic as we are, be sure to check out apmagazine.info each month. Since 1985, it has presented the latest research by top researchers like Andrew Collins, Brad Steiger, and many others, and contains interviews with such leading personalities as Jacques Vallée. Click on one of their banners and check out apmagazine.info. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Putting a little cheesecake into that, aren't
you? Oh, come on. That was my sassy voice.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it.
Okay, thank you.
Right, my wife is just jealous listening to that.
Oh, dear.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Let's continue about Project Orange. All right. So we're talking about a large percentage of this specific UFO type? Is that throughout the history of the modern field from 47 on, or more recent?
This is something that we've seen. I mean, we could go back centuries. This has been a common thing. Jacques Vallée has done some great research looking at historical cases with regards to this. I mean, we're talking 500 years old, if not longer. And I believe that, like I was saying, you know, there is significant data to say that they are in areas that's not changing. It's the same type of area. What Peter Davenport, his thoughts are, because he has the New Fork database, is that sightings are increasing and that they're appearing over more densely populated areas, and they're also behaving and interacting with human beings much more than they ever have before. So his feeling is things are ramping up with this. I tend to agree with what I am finding out. I don't know why, but it is very curious. I think it's important for people to really educate not only investigators, but the public, to educate themselves about what natural phenomena is, what man-made objects are, how to take good photographs and video. It's really hard at night, but we need to just be good about collecting data. We also need funding, which is what we are hoping for, so we can get out in areas where the sightings clusters appear and collect data that can be analyzed, much like they've done over in Hechtstallen with all of their work. So there's a lot to do, but we definitely feel there is ample, that this is something that is incredibly important.
Now, when you have an orange fireball, how close does it get?
You know, we can see them 5 feet away from people. I had an interesting case where, and this was such a great case. This was a few years ago, but the fellow had just come forward to talk to me about this. He was driving. He'd gone out. He was stationed in a military base in California. He had left the base and was coming home late one night. He was on a kind of an isolated stretch of road. He looked off to his side and noticed this orange sphere that was right, just going. He said it was moving through the trees like they weren't even there. And then all of a sudden this orb veered off and literally hit his car and pushed the car off the side of the road. So these objects were, I mean, this object was close to him. So it just varies. We have people like Dave Stinnett, who researches stuff, and he's back east, and he, you know, they go out and videotape things, and these objects are in neighborhoods. You know, they're appearing over houses, in houses.
Now, that implies, from everything you say, a natural or unusual phenomenon, not necessarily a solid aircraft.
You know, I don't believe that they are a solid aircraft. I, for many people that have seen these objects, they feel that it is either some sort of intelligently controlled probe, or it is an intelligent being of sorts, but it has the ability to interact, to react to human beings. It can, you know, has been seen in many different places, including Marfa, where it moves around bushes, it moves around things. They interact. This isn't a natural phenomenon. Sometimes it can be mistaken for natural phenomenon. Sometimes you have natural phenomenon that's mistaken for this type of thing, but these are just very unusual.
Now, there's a theory by the late Trevor James Constable that you might have heard of, that at least some UFOs might be living creatures. It was a theory shared also by the late zoologist and UFO and paranormal researcher Ivan T. Sanderson. What do you think?
I would not disagree with that. I think that they might be living entities, beings, creatures. I think that is, you know, in fact, I've been looking at Trevor James and his work and just trying to get any type of input that I can from anybody that's looked into this. And I like what he had to say.
Now, this is a subject that we're trying to cover on a previous episode of the Paracast, and we just plain ran out of time. And obviously, he's not around to tell us anything anymore.
I know. That is, there's so many researchers that unfortunately are not with us any longer, but I hope that we can learn as much from the work that they did to help us with what we're doing now.
There was another question from the forums that I forgot to put up. If it's okay, Gene, I wanted to ask or comment on the orb thing. During my research for Project Beta, Bill Moore and a couple other people told me that when they were in Paul Benowitz's house, they would occasionally observe these orange or, I guess, pretty much orange or reddish orbs floating around the ceiling of his house. And Paul Benowitz, when Bill said, "What's that?" Paul looked up and he said, "Oh, those are here all the time." And when they went up, and I don't know, Erica, you might know, have some sort of data on this or, you know, a similar experience, but he said that when he got on a ladder and tried to go up to touch them, they would either move out of the way and or they would turn off like a light bulb switching off, like an incandescent light, not off like bang, but they would fade out very quickly. Have you seen anything like that in any of the any of your research?
You know, that we do see that they're frequently, I mean, in people's homes, whether this is a, you know, I mean, again, it's like, where is this a paranormal thing? Where does it cross the line? But they do interact. You know, they will move and respond to human beings, and it's just, and they do sometimes, you know, I've got reports from people who observe these objects, and when they disappear, it's like they seem to kind of fold into themselves.
Hmm. Yeah, well, because it was interesting to me because what was going on at his house at the time was he's being watched very carefully by various intelligence organizations, and I always got the feeling in his case that somehow somebody had figured out how to create these things. Oh, the other thing they said was there were little sparkly things inside them sometimes, like these little shiny sparkly parts of within the light.
Yes, and I've heard that from many witnesses as well.
Okay. The other question on here was from AS7092, and we sort of addressed this, but I wanted to specifically ask his question, and it's about MUFON again. Erica, what's your stance regarding infighting in MUFON, and is it enough to separate the organization, or can it get stronger if it was to branch off into a different direction or form into different halves or factions?
Let's hold off the answer for a moment. I need to tell you about After the Paracast, our second radio show. Part of the Paracast Plus package, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com to learn more. You'll hear Erica Luke's response to Greg Bishop on the other side with Gene. And Greg, you're in. I'm just waiting for someone to figure it out and take it.
The Paracast!
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Oh, well. It only goes downhill from here. Erica, what have you to say?
Oh, boy. Where to begin? With regards to that question about MUFON, I think with any organization, people in general, of course there's infighting. I think that in my opinion, what needs to happen in any big organization is there needs to be cohesion and dialogue. And I think that they're trying to work on the fact that they're getting people to communicate and kind of break down some barriers. Because for a long time, I think in MUFON, it was, you know, it's my state. This is the way things, you know, we're doing things. And there was a lot of isolation. And I think that's changing. I hope it is. Because, I mean, I've talked to so many great people involved in MUFON that have so many important things to share. And I hope that that happens. It will really make everything much more effective, for sure.
But do you think getting involved in some of these questionable projects, such as the Hangar One TV show, helps MUFON?
You know, for me, I thought Hangar One was great because it exposed a whole new audience to this. And I think that's important. You know, whether there were some inconsistencies with the cases, I'm sure there were, because at the end of the day, it's handed off to a production team. I think MUFON did the best they could, and I was incredibly proud to have some of the people on there, like Ben Moss and Tony, that I know personally and are great investigators. I thought that was really cool to see them get on there. I was really happy about that. I think anytime you do something where you're bringing this into public focus, that's a good thing. And I think that Hangar One, with all the controversy, I think it exposed people to what's going on. So in my opinion, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Should it be the prime focus of an organization? I I don't think so, because I think the research should be the prime focus and disseminating that information to the public.
I think the question here is if Hangar One is the first impression they have of MUFON, unquestionable claims are made. That has to hurt the organization.
Oh, boy. You know, I don't really know what specifically, you know, I mean, I know that there were a few, I mean, honestly, I didn't pay much attention when this came out, but I'm sure there were claims that are discrepancies, and I do believe, from my understanding, that MUFON, the communications team, addressed those discrepancies. You know, it's TV. Hopefully people are smart enough to understand that. I think there were lots of great cases that were also touched on. And I think the average person that is coming into this for the first time isn't going to know about these discrepancies. So I think really the people that were upset about it were the long-time researchers, with good reason.
Right. But remember, too, that a lot of people watch shows like that not to learn information about something serious, but for entertainment.
Right.
And certainly the networks don't treat it as anything more than entertainment. It's just the 43 minutes to fill between the ads.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. I you know, I don't know. I mean, what were your thoughts on Hangar One?
I don't pay attention to those shows at all. I've seen them a little bit, but that's it.
Yeah, I've watched one or two of them, and then I turn them off within 5 minutes because as Jacques Vallée used to say, I was not learning anything. But we're a very specific audience. This is, like, as you said, it's for a huge national audience, and it's more for entertainment. And if it's for entertainment, maybe you will snag people that want to be serious about it. I don't know. But I think wasn't the point of having that show to kind of get the visibility of MUFON up partially, which is why they agreed to do such a thing?
Yes, absolutely. And to expand public awareness. So I think that's important. To me, making this an accessible topic is something that needs to happen.
If people learn about something through incorrect information, they'll go along with those assumptions. We already have too much reality TV in what's supposed to be news. And I don't want to get into much more detail than that as to what particular issues are involved. But if we're going to play serious documentaries like a reality show where it's fact and it's fiction and it's some kind of weird merger between the two, how does that serve the public?
Oh, boy. I look at sometimes the way we behave in the UFO research community, and I wonder how that serves the public. I think that we need to look at all sorts of things. You know, if we're really caring about making this a credible thing that's taken seriously, we need to look at everything we do and the way we present this, not only on a TV show, but in public forums, in social media. We're dealing with something that is, we're just on the leading edge of figuring out what it is. And I think that the best thing that we can do is really be respectful of that and be respectful of other people with regards to this. And we need to, I think, grow up a bit, because we give ourselves a bad name. We do that on our own, not just maybe one or two or five or 10 things in a TV show that were misstated.
What are the things we do to ourselves that damage serious UFO research, having raised the question?
I believe that we spend an awful lot of time trying to take individual researchers apart, trying to debunk things that are coming in. I think that we attack people personally when we don't agree with what they do. And I think that we need to be more respectful. And if we don't agree with somebody, we need to be able to act like adults and have a civil dialogue about that, or let it go and focus on ways that we can really be productive with regards to researching this. I mean, to me, being in a social media site 24 hours a day doesn't necessarily make me a good researcher. And I think we need to be aware of how we treat people. We need to be supportive. Not everything I feel with regards to this is going to be something that other people agree with, but at least I'm going to be respectful enough to sit down and have a dialogue, a respectful dialogue about it.
Right, but here's an issue. If a researcher is being deceptive, cheating people, giving themselves credentials they have not earned, shouldn't they be called out and set aside so we can focus on the real stuff?
Oh, boy. It's always great to find people that are charlatans, so to speak. But for me personally, I don't want to waste my time doing that because I think there are more beneficial ways to help in this area. So, you know what I mean? I think sometimes we get so caught up in this that it really detracts from what we need to be doing.
Yeah, I for some reason I think of the Patton Oswalt thing. It's when somebody comes up with an opinion that's obviously fairly silly or not very well founded. You don't have to respect it. You can acknowledge it, but you don't have to respect it. And there's ways to do that without being nasty. My way is to ignore them.
Well, you know, and I think that's great. Yeah, great. Ignore people. I hate to say it, but I look at the current political goings-ons in our country, and I think there's a lot of need for people to belittle other people, and I don't think that serves anybody. Doesn't make me feel better.
It's a waste of time. I mean, I don't really complain about people. I just basically ignore them and go on with what I'm interested in. And I don't really care. I'm so done with all the fighting. I don't even pay attention to it anymore. So, you know, and it's like, if it's not teaching you something, why bother?
Right. It's distracting. It is distracting. But, you know, I mean, there have been people too that it's been good to understand that they're not credible and to just back away. But hopefully, you know, I can be smart enough to put the dots together on that one. So
let's do our break and have more dots in our next segment with Erica Lukes and Jean and Greg. You're in.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com. That's BEESPA.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
For the first time on the Paracast, we have an attempt. I won't say how successful. At playing a real musical instrument.
My lord.
The
that was impressive.
Ocarina doesn't count. Oh, well. I can't go out and get my guitar. That would just be ridiculous. And I can't even play it, so.
Well, that would be more fun.
Next time I'm on, I'll bring the amp in here. And when you say Paracast, I'll put as much distortion as I can in it and do something.
You're not doing that already without the guitar?
Am I distorting? I don't distort, I clarify.
Oh, good one, good one.
Okay, let's clarify this. Let's just move to a couple of side issues in UFO research in connection with the fact that we mentioned them in previous episodes. Men in Black, any evidence of any?
Oh, boy. You know, I mean, I talked to Nick Redfern about Men in Black, and Nick Redfern he's done some great research with the Men in Black. And
he does like a book every 3 hours.
Yeah, he is the most prolific guy. I don't know how he does it. I mean, I don't know. And they're great books, but I have never had a Men in Black case. But and I don't know if we're still seeing as many of them as we used to. But I would love to have a Men in Black case. That would be cool.
Increasing, and he was getting more reports, which was kind of surprising, at least to me.
Interesting. I can't wait to hear more about the Women in Black, though.
Yeah, intriguing. He had so many of them, he actually had to make a book of them. I didn't even know there were enough to make a book. Last book he signed to me, it said, "To Greg from the Book Factory, Nick." Because I called it. I said, "What are you, a book factory?" So he signed it that way.
Oh, that is awesome.
Don't turn around or Nick will have another book out.
Oh, my God. I know. It's like every time I talk to him, it's like, well, I've got 5 books coming out in the next 10 minutes, and I'm just like, wow.
Treats it as a job. That's why people are so amazed. It's like, if you're at your job and you do your job every day, and your job is to produce things, you'll produce things. And that's his attitude, which is why he has a very workmanlike attitude about doing his work. And he's a writer, so he writes.
He does.
Well, he has not reached the level of the late Walter B. Gibson, who wrote 300 novels about the shadow.
Good lordy.
Yeah, well, he doesn't make stuff up, so it's a little bit harder. He's going on data and research rather than just writing novels. So it's a little more difficult, I would think.
Right. It will take him a few years before he gets to the level of Brad Steiger, who I think, although I guess he's semi-retired now, although mm-hmm. there have been reissues of some of his books, where Brad Steiger did like 165 books.
Oh, my God. Geez, I've done four.
What are you thinking?
Sorry about this. I've done 30.
Oh my God. Erica, do you have any books that you've released?
I don't, but I'm actually working on a book about the orange robe phenomenon, and I'm going to be lecturing about it too, which will be really fun. It'll be exciting.
Where are you going to lecture at?
I am speaking at the StarWorks Symposium in Loveland, Nevada in November, and then I've got another. I was just asked to speak at another conference that will be releasing. They'll be making a press release here pretty quick, so I will keep people posted. But it's good. I enjoy speaking and interacting, and I hope that I can share some of my research and hopefully open a few eyes.
Yeah, I was putting down the conferences for a while, but the main thing is to interact with people. You can't do that in any other way. And have you noticed that people come up and talk to you and just kind of download their experience to you? I get that a lot when I'm at conferences. I just want to say something to somebody that's not going to laugh at them.
Yes, and I love that. I mean, that to me, I really value interacting with other people, and that is my great thing when I investigate cases, is the interaction, letting people feel comfortable and know that they have a safe place to talk about something that is more often than not traumatic to them. And that's really special.
Now, we just got some more questions in the forum from Ravensfree. I don't know if we have time to even ask any of them. Greg, you want to take a quick look?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Well, this one's interesting to me, so I'll ask it. And you had mentioned it earlier, Erica, about Dugway Proving Ground. Ravensfree asks, is there more to Dugway Proving Ground than unsubstantiated internet rumors? I mean, besides the fact that it's been there for a while and it's basically a test area. Anything weird about it? Anything, you know, Area 51-ish like about it?
I believe, well, I know that they are doing some really... Oh, boy. I mean, obviously, it's a top-secret testing facility. For me, I am always watching to see what's going on, not only from the UFO aspect, but because I live close to it, because it has affected people's health in the past. It's you know, my gosh, what did we have? The vial of anthrax. I mean, we had live anthrax that was shipped off of the Dugway base. I mean, there are interesting things that take place there, and so we need to be aware of that. But there are many reports I get of sightings in that area, around that area. And Dave Rosenfeld, who is Alien Dave, has been out there. He goes on many watches out there on the periphery, and he's seen them test lasers that have the capability of punching holes through clouds, and he's watched as objects have come down and circled the laser beams and then shot off into space. So there's a lot going on out there. Will we ever know really if the bodies have been taken from Area 51 there? No, but I'm definitely keeping my eye on it and amassing research with regards to Dugway.
Mm-hmm. There's time for another one there, Gene?
Very fast, about a minute and a half.
Okay, did MUFON ever receive reports or become aware of events experienced by Native American residents? As Utah seems to have a high degree of activity, was there any attempt to see if there were historical or folkloric reports or to see if the nature or frequency had a long-standing basis?
Great question. I have, especially with Skinwalker Ranch, especially since we have a large Native American population here, that has been one of my things. And I've had the good fortune of meeting with and being friends with one of the world's foremost Native American historians, who's in his early 80s now. And he's loaned me several books from his special collection, out of print books, that talk about the oral traditions of the Native American mm-hmm. culture and skinwalkers. And so we don't unfortunately have a lot of sightings that are submitted to databases, but I believe that this is an important connection that we need to understand, and we need to have a dialogue.
We have no more time for dialogues except to ask this. Erica Lukes, would you tell our listeners where they can find more about the things that you do?
You can go to UFOclassified.com to find out about my show, about the research project, and then also on Facebook you can find me under Erica Lukes or UFO Classified.
Oh, it sounds classified just thinking about it.
Oh, it is.
Greg Bishop, tell our listeners, please, where they can find more of your stuff.
Well, my show is Radio Mysterioso, and that's at RadioMysterioso.com. And the new book is It Defies Language, and you can find information on that at ItDefiesLanguage.com. Thank you.
It Defies Language, by the way, features terrific illustrations from Red Pill Junkie. You can find us on Twitter also. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for two Paracast fan clubs. Imagine that, Erica. Two Paracast fan clubs.
Wow.
On Facebook, and we can't figure out how to merge them because you have to kill one to do
that. Isn't that a pain?
It really is. But what isn't a pain is the fact that we have another radio show called After the Paracast, available exclusively if you sign up for Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. Simple. A low subscription rate gets you After the Paracast, an enhanced version of this show, free of network ads for those who don't like ads. We also are beginning to offer show transcripts. We also are beginning to offer videos. We are going to very soon now, because I finally have the first sample chapter, offer a book that Chris O'Brien wrote with Ray Stanford. We have the introduction all ready to go. That will be up probably in a few days at most. I just need to get ahead of myself, which is more strange than not. Erica Lukes, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. It was fun.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first time ever, U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.